And perhaps you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again for thy word. We've opened it. God, here we are. So help us understand what you've said and why you said it. And God, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we have gone through the Gospel of John, we've coming to the end of the Upper Room Discourse, which is chapter 13 through 17. And as we're coming to the end of the concluding prayer, our Lord's Prayer, and you will notice in the light of that, O righteous Father, verse 25, the Lord hath not known thee, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now, so in the light of that, God makes it, the Lord, God the Son, in his perfect humanity, is going to go and to conclude in his prayer, his commitment to all that God has made possible and would make possible on Calvary's cross. And therefore, the world hath not known, and the world has not known, they have not received, but he has known thee. Now, putting that together just to give us a little help in it, over to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. When God began writing the last living apostle, giving us this wonderful 21 chapters on God's wonderful word. And in the process, he lets us know that God is God, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So, having done that, and then he sent his Son, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, having done all that, what was the response? Chapter 1, down to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, Jewish people, and his own received him not, N-O-T. Verse 12, and contrast, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So the world knew him not. So in the closing remark in the upper room, the world doesn't know, and the world doesn't know. And if you keep going, you might as well turn a page, you're right there, chapter 3. And picking up in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, judged. But he that believeth not, N-O-T, is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19, this is the condemnation. Well, what is the condemnation? That light has come into the world. Christ is the light of the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So they love. The world loves darkness. The world doesn't want light. It doesn't want right. It would accept and makes wrong right, like in Isaiah 5 and 20. You call evil good and good evil. Call light darkness and call darkness light. Turn everything upside down. Now, so having said that, and while you're thinking of that, understanding that, go with me, please, over in the light of that to John chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus said in verse 25 of chapter 17, the world doesn't know you. And we just mentioned that. And, but I know you. And therefore, chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 54 to see it. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, whom ye say that he is your God. Verse 55. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Now, having said that, God is God in his wonderful way. Back over to chapter 17. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, and we just mentioned that, but I have known thee, without any question, having been sent by God, is God. And these have known that thou hast sent me. These have known that thou hast sent me. So there's no question, they know. So we got that part. The world doesn't know, certainly God knows. And the disciples that have been with him for 3 1/3 years, they know. They know. Now, just to see that part of it, over, if you can, to chapter 6. And you'll see that, just to lock it in. John chapter 6. Remember our Lord Jesus giving his wonderful, wonderful exercise of understanding to the believing heart, if they would receive it, that he was the bread of life, etc. So when we come to verse 67, then said Jesus, 6:67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We have no question. We have no question. So what did the Lord say? It's 17. They believe that I was sent. So there's no question about it. And on your way back, chapter 16. And in chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 27. And you will note, 16:27, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. And so there's no question that the 11, Judas not counted, the 11 of them knew. There's no question, where did you come from? From God. I came from God, and I'm going to go back to God, our Lord said. So there's no question now about that in God's wonderful, wonderful way. And picking up, please, now, chapter 17. These have known that thou hast sent me. So then we come to chapter 17, verse 26. And I have declared unto them, I have declared unto them thy name. And the word declare means to point out, to make known, to explain, to reveal. All of those words. To declare, to reveal something, make it very plain, very simple, very clear. I have declared unto them thy name. So in the process, will declare it. I have made it known, and I'm going to make it known. Now, this is the end of the prayer. Hang on to that now. And God's making it very clear that the world doesn't know, doesn't want to know. The believers are knowing, which is very good. And God is going to make sure that this thing comes out good, and I will declare it. In other words, God's going to declare his wonderful, wonderful name. He's going to go and declare it to them. and to make it known. Now, when you say his name, you want to think of his nature, God, as we shared all these things, God as to his nature, his being, his essence is God. He, as God, in his unique nature, being, essence, is at once the Father, also the Son, and also the Holy Ghost. God, in his magnificence, person. God, you have to explain it to us. We can't understand it because we're simply made in your image and likeness. But to understand God, G-O-D, in his triunity, in his unity, in his oneness, that's what God. So therefore, God has made known his name, God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful purpose to have an awesome, awesome, wonderful relationship to God, to have that. Now, while you're there, go with me over to chapter 14. And remember now, we're looking at all God has done in these 13, 14, 15, 16, in the upper room before they go out to the cross. And in chapter 14, picking up, if I can, the movement, verse 20, at that day, Pentecost, etc., Acts 2, at that day you shall know. What will you know? That I am in my Father, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And remember, we share that with the cups, so you see it. You have to understand. It's a unique oneness, a unique oneness, to say the least. That's what God has done. God has made it clear in the process. God, I'll read verse 20 again. I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Unique oneness. Just think of the cups again as we did them. Remember, we did the cups, and without taking time to do it, we did the cups so you'd see it. The cups all, each one. God the Father, God the Son, all one. And God takes the believing heart and makes them into that oneness so that they're able to enjoy a unique oneness, a unique relationship to God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, it's a unique oneness. That's what it is. Hang on to that. That oneness is to be exercised and enjoyed, chapter 15. And chapter 15, if I can. And you'll remember, as we did all this, because he's giving them last-minute instruction. These 11 are given the privilege of a special, special class, a special opportunity, like in the military. Before you go and land on the beach, you get a good instruction. Make sure everything's in order. Make sure you got your bullets and you check your gun and make sure you got everything. And you go and check everything. That's what you do. That's what God's doing. He's making preparation for them. Once they leave the room, they're all done. They're going to have the information. That's why we're looking at it. That's why we're trying to understand it. Because that information is what we're looking at, reading, trying to understand. That's the information we're to work with and live with. That's what we're to be doing. So therefore, in chapter 15, you'll remember, if I can. And just think of Hebrews, what we're looking at in the morning, in Hebrews 9 and that. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And by the way, without me, you can do nothing. So here's the, again, you have a unique relationship, and we're to understand that relationship. God the Father, and God the Son, and he's divine. And God tells us that the believing heart is the branch. The branch. Okay? That's branch. That's the oneness. We're to exercise this relationship. It's an awesome relationship. And you have to understand it's real. It's real. You're real. You live inside your body, as you said 1,000 times. You live inside your body, and you have exercising as much as we can understand it. You have a unique oneness with your physical body. And you aren't located in the head. You aren't located in the foot, okay? You aren't located in the heart, etc. So where are you located? The body, the how you house, the body is your home, earthly home in which you live in. It enjoys an awesome unity, oneness, all 12 systems working together to give it life. Wow! God, when you get saved, God gives you something better than one of the body. You have, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're one with him. Do you understand? No, you don't. Because it's too awesome. But it's just as real and more real than you being in your body. Now, most of you, even though we're deficient in education in these days, most of you know you live inside, don't you? Don't you know that when you get out of bed, don't you wake up and hit your cheek and see if you're alive and that? What you do? You know you're alive. You know that. You know it. That's right. When you get saved, you're supposed to know. God makes it possible for you to know, and therefore you can't enjoy this relationship if you don't abide. Without me, you can do nothing. How could you possibly, as a person out here, I believe in the Lord, and I'm out here like this, out here, but there's no evidence, there's no, I don't know anything, I don't have anything. I'm walking around like a corpse. I can't breathe, like I'm wrapped up in a mummy, like mummy's tomb or something. No, I have to be in Christ in order to enjoy the life of Christ. That's what I have to do. And that's what God said, without me, you can do nothing. You want to enjoy a life? You want to enjoy breathing? You have to take the air in. You can't enjoy being alive if you don't keep breathing. If you don't keep believing, you can't enjoy being a believer. How are you going to enjoy being a believer if you don't be believing? You have to. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind if I can. So, God wants to know and do a wonderful, wonderful thing that the love wherewith, verse 17, 26. That, order that, purpose, in verse 26, that, in order that, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be, present tense, in them. Now God, remember we did all these things in detail as we did them. God, what did you do? God said, I'm going to go and I'm going to declare your wonderful name. I'm going to reveal and make known your wonderful person. A, I'm going to make known that person that you are, God the Father in all of his magnificence. And I am going to make it known to them. I'm also going to make known to them, verse 26, that thou hast loved me. So I'm going to help them understand a unique love like we shared, like no other. God the Father, God is love. He's one in his awesome being. He's love in all of his perfection. And in the process, I'm going to make them know, understand, thou hast loved me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm going to make known that love, they love me. Now, how are you going to make that known to them? I'm going to make it known. How so? Verse 26. Because I'm going to be in them. I'm going to be in them. Here you are again. And John 1:12, as many as received him, received the Lord as Savior, they become new creatures in Christ. And that new creature in Christ, there they are. An awesome, awesome relationship to God. Now, having said that, I'm going to be in them. So how am I going to know this love? How am I going to know God's name, God's fame, God's awesome, awesome person? How am I going to know this in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way for God? So God, and remember, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost are going to be in and in us, in the believing heart, in an awesome way. And you can't have the Son of God without God the Father. You can't have the Son of God without God the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Father without the Son. That's why the Lord said, turn there so you see it, you know it, John chapter 14. And picking up, please, in verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough. Show us the Father. Jesus said unto them, saith, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Why are you saying that? If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father, and you've seen the Spirit of God in his awesomeness. Now, God, you're going to do all of these wonderful, wonderful things. You're going to make yourself known because you're in them, because you have a unique relationship to them. Now, so God's going to take in them, Christ in the heart. God is going to go on Calvary's cross and die in his perfect humanity. His perfect humanity is going to be resurrected and seated at the right hand of God. In his wonderful deity is God the Son. He's able to go and take a whosoever that believes and indwell them. John 1:12, as many as received him. I'm not receiving his humanity. I'm receiving his wonderful person, his deity. And that deity connects me to his humanity because he's my Savior. He died on the cross for my sin. So I'm able to have a unique, wonderful relationship to God. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, when I received him as my Savior, what did I get? Well, back to the illustration again, I guess. Here I am. When I received him as my Savior, I received God in Christ. I received the love of God in Christ. I received all the works of God in Christ. I received all the Word of God in Christ. I received all the God's grace and all of God's mercy in Christ. When I received him as my Savior, how am I going to, like John 17:26, I will declare it. I'm going to declare your wonderful relationship, your name. I'm going to declare your wonderful, wonderful love. How am I going to do that? I'm going to commend them. They're going to have it. Where do we get it? in Christ when you received him as your Savior. That's where you got it. What did I get when I got Christ? Is it going to go away? No, this is this. God gives me himself. So what am I supposed to do? Abide, abide, branch in the vine. You abide like this, abide, abide. That's what you're doing. A relationship, a oneness. We did all that in John 17. A unique relationship to God that's unbelievable, impossible, but it is. Because God is, and you is. That's why. In a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, all of it's going to go and do for his name's sake. Now, here's all the instructions. Just to say, Christ in you is going to be all of everything. Here's all these truths. Wonderful, wonderful things. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. Chapter 14. Chapter 14, if I can. Remember, everything's in his name. It's in his name. You know, hang on to that. Hold your finger there. And go with me over to Matthew chapter 28. And you'll catch it in one shot. Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 19, God's wonderful assignment to the church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. If they're saved, letting it be known that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive them as a Savior. He died for them, he was buried, and he rose again. And water baptism is a symbol of that actual thing, that the actual baptism when you got saved. When you get saved, the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, etc., baptizes us, places us into the wonderful name. Verse 19, teaching all nations, baptizing, identifying them in the name, singular, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful person, God's wonderful name. So what are we going to do? In chapter 14 of John, verse 13. And whatsoever shall ask, remember the ask, the verb ask is the desire of the will. Think of the word desire when you ask, desire, and you make your will, a volition, you make a decision. You discern, you say with your will. You choose something. You're choosing. Whatever you ask in your will, how are we asking it? In my name. We aren't trying to go and do it out here. We're trying to do it because Christ said what? Without me you can do what? Nothing. So we aren't trying to get in his name. In his name is here. When I'm in his name, resting in his wonderful person, I can ask what I will. I desire what God wants in a most wonderful way. And whatever I ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask, there it is again, anything in my name, I will do it. Do you understand now? Here they are going to be sent. They're going to go out the door, and they aren't going to come back in that room. And it's college of hard knocks for a while, a long time, till the Lord takes them. Now, here they go. And when they go out, they're going out the door, and God has made a provision for them. How are they going to ever, all of these wonderful, wonderful truths, how are they ever going to be? Because Christ is going to be in them. And he's going to be there. So here's the Bible. You can read it, not read it, throw it away. It doesn't matter. God said it. God has it. God's going to do it. If you never opened your Bible, God's going to do exactly what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. Whether you read it or not, doesn't make any difference. That's what he's going to do. So therefore, when I do that, I'm going to ask whatever. So I'm able to enjoy a trip through time, having a relationship to God, so that I can enjoy God's wonderful person, presence, power, His wonderful one. I can look to God in any time, all the time. I have an audience, a wonderful permanent audience, a wonderful permanent acceptance, a wonderful permanent, so that I can come to the Father and you can come to the Father. We're in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Ghost. We already have it. Just like you're in your body. You're in your body. Exercise it. That's what you do. That's what you'll do all day today. You'll exercise your relationship to your body. When you eat, whatever you do, that's what you're going to do. Then exercise it spiritually. And God, without you, I can't do it. I can't. No more than I can do without air. Now, having said that, and not only that, asking in God's awesome, awesome way, the desire of the will, all that God is going to do, and God's going to do it because of His glory and for His honor. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in chapter 17:22, has given us His glory and His glory. So we ought to be His wonderful, wonderful inheritance, and we're to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person. Now, notice please, in chapter 14, verse 12, 14 and 12. Verily, verily, I say, I'm going to read verse 11 so you see it. Believe, 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. For all that's happened, all that I do, the evidence that's everywhere, that obviously I'm not like you guys. He's God in the flesh, incarnate. Therefore, what's the believer to be encouraged in this relationship that he's going to make? Verse 12, verily, verily, most assuredly, assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So we're going to have what? An awesome, awesome outworking of God's wonderful person. You and God in you is going to go and outwork His wonderful life. In your relationship, vine and the branch, and you're going to do that. And as you do that, and as you exercise that unique, wonderful relationship to God, you'll remember in Ephesians, do it just to keep awake, over to Ephesians, in the light of the works, so you see it, so you don't think it's off the moon somewhere. It's what it is, a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's how it works. That's what being a Christian is. That's what being a believer is. Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, please. Sliding over in the light of verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, His often skilled, the skilled artisan. Wow. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to be new creatures in Christ, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. In other words, God's going to outwork His wonderful will. So when it says in John 14:12, all these works you're going to do, God's going to outwork His wonderful plan in your life as you trust Him. You don't trust Him, you don't know it. Then you're not abiding. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you're going to go and trust me, then you're going to have all the benefits. That's what they are. It doesn't mean you know everything, understand everything. No, you're just going to go and use your good common sense and live your ordinary life. Whatever you eat in your refrigerator, they eat it. And that's the food. One person eats rice, another person eats potatoes. I don't know. They eat whatever. You do whatever you want. Do what? Do whatever you do. John 10, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. So that's what we do. And God's going to outwork His wonderful life. That's what it's right. That's what all the trees are out there, the trees. And all the trees are going to be what they do. And each one, all the trees sit there and just grow. The believer is to what? Understand their unique relationship to the Lord as the body, and then to just be there and enjoy a wonderful relationship to God. And God will do everything, outwork his wonderful life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Because I'm going to trust him for his will. Because I don't want my will. Ask whatever you will in my name. In my name. You have a relationship in this oneness. Exercise your relationship so that you can enjoy all that God has in mind. And the ills and aches and ups and downs won't make any difference, because God will get you right through them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm going to go right through. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I get there. Now, having said that, and keeping that little bit in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful working in his wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that, as we just said, this relationship, and that relationship is to be expressed in Corinthians in that, therefore, if anyone be a new creature in Christ, do. So when I get saved, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. He makes you have a unique relationship in God's wonderful oneness, a new creation, not Jew, not Gentile, the Church of God, a unique, awesome testimony to his grace in this time of grace until the tribulation. An awesome, awesome time. Now, so God, having said this unique relationship to you, and we're to trust you, and you are, back over to John 14, you are a wonderful, wonderful comforter. Now, let me pick it up in verse chapter 14, and then we'll do it a little differently. Chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the word comfortless is the word orphan, to be deprived of mother and father. You're an orphan. And it's used. It's used if you want to see it, the Greek in the Old Testament, Septuagint, you want to see it, hold your finger here and go over with me to Psalm 68. And it'll help you. Psalm 68, and you will notice, may I go directly, Psalm 68, picking up, please, in verse 5. I'll read verse 4 for context. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. Jah means created. He's the created one. He's the eternal one. He is the eternal now, Jah, singular. That's Jehovah, Jah, singular. Jah, he's the eternal one. That he's the eternal now, there is no time. Therefore, and rejoice before him, a father, verse 5, of the fatherless, there's your word, and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God cares about the orphan, the persecuted. God knows. God knows the earthly system we live in. And God knows and understands. So therefore, in John chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, underline, fatherless. I will not leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you out in the field without me. I'm not going to leave you out there. I'm not going to do that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm not going to do that. Now, and therefore, fatherless, the comforter, to come to one's aid, to come to one's side, to be an ally, to be an aid, to come and help the 911 better than 911. Now, chapter 14, what do we know? A comfort. My God, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, that means God, that's the word comfort. The word comfortless is different in verse 18. In verse 16, the word comfort is to come to one's aid, to come to one's aid, be an ally, to come to stand next to one, to be a help. God the Father is a wonderful comforter. God the Son is a wonderful comforter. God the Spirit of God is a wonderful comforter. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you're in the middle, they comfort. They come to your aid. How can you ask more than that? How much is God going to come to your aid? In all of his fullness, in all of his capacity as God. He can't come any other way. He's your comforter. Look at it over in chapter 20, verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So you don't have to memorize it. God knows what he means. So what do? You trust God. I don't know all the verses of the Bible. I don't know that little. All I know is God so loved me and died for me. God knows the rest of it. God knows the rest of it. And you trust him. You don't know beans, as it were, but you trust him. God knows the rest, and God fills it in. We have a little baby, little baby, little baby, little baby doesn't know anything, but the mother and father do. They know. Little baby doesn't know, but the father and mother do. God knows the little baby. I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you without comfort. I'm going to be the comforter. I'm going to come to your aid. I'm going to say, without me, you can do nothing. Got it? Without me, you can do nothing. I'm going to do it all. Now, that's God's preparing them in an awesome way for all that he's going to do. And pick it up, please, chapter 16, in verse 1. He levels with him. He doesn't say it's going to be a picnic. Not at all. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Don't stumble, because I am telling you what's going to be. When you land on the beach, it's not going to be a picnic. So therefore, these things. Look at chapter 3. These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Wow. Verse 4. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whether thou goest. Verse 6. Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. You're all sad because all these things are going to happen. That's correct. But that's what you're in. You aren't in a picnic. You're in a war. You're in an awesome outworking of history for God's glory and honor to save whosoever that would believe in God's wonderful, wonderful working. And God's going to do what he does in a most, most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So God said that. And you can pick it up, chapter 16. And in verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. That's what cheer means, encouragement. I have overcome the world. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, it isn't me trying to cope with everything. I can't. I'm copeless. Hopeless, copeless. What I am, God. God can handle it. What? He's going to outwork his workmanship for his goodwill for all that he's going to do. And that's what he's going to do. And we're abiding, vine in the branch. We're going to do that. And all of that's awesome. That's all wonderful. That's for real. Awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful, for real. In God's wonderful, wonderful way. So, in the light of that, that's how God ends his chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, he ends the instructions before you go land on the beach, before you go out to the door, you can't come back in again, and then he prays, which we just did, John chapter 17. So he's going to wonderfully, wonderfully pray. So in the process for God to outwork his wonderful, holy, high, holy, heavenly calling for the human heart to know God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, over now to Peter. And in 1 Peter, chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and you will note, picking up if I can in verse 12, beloved, think not it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, put you to the test, to prove you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory, remember all that we took the time and the glory of God, 21, 22, 23 of chapter 17, partakers of his suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, remember that's what he's looking for. He's waiting for us to get home there to show us his glory. In chapter 17, verse 24. Here in verse 13, that we may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On your part he is evil spoken of, but on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now, having said that, over to chapter 5 and in verse 10, as you come to the close. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, remember he wants us to be, see his glory, as we shared last time, he's waiting for us to see the marvelous person that he is in you, that we don't even come to grips with, he wants us to see. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And God, how are we going to conclude? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God, you have a wonderful plan. But you know what? The disciples, all of those wonderful, wonderful truths, they've heard them. They aren't sitting down writing them down in a notebook. They aren't doing that. They couldn't possibly, no more than you could, sitting there knowing they're going to go out and Christ is going to be crucified. It wasn't a pleasant time. It was a difficult time. But all of that's there. God is going to keep it for them in Christ. They're going to receive Christ. Acts chapter 2, God is going to bring in them, Spirit of God is going to bring all of this, the same as Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And he wasn't there in Genesis. Wow. And God just did it. God has no problem. He tells you what he wants you to know, and there's no other book in all the world of a zillion books. There's no book like your Bible in front of you. Absolutely. You want to know God, that's where you got the book. Use it. Don't have to, you know, there's a Book of Mormon and 1,000 other books. But this book is the only one like it. Thus saith the Lord. Therefore, what are we going to do, God? We're going to go and look. Now, as I close, this is, now, you probably all would like to have some food today somewhere, okay? At noon or midnight or something. You want some food. And I can tell you about food. And you think of the food. And you have food? Okay. No. But you don't have it now. But if we can really make it easier, I just think about food. Now I'm going to look at food. Here's the food. Food. His food. Wonderful, wonderful food. Wonderful food. Doesn't it look good? Can't smell it. Okay. Can't eat it. Can't do it. There it is. Food. Now, God. Now, and we all take our book home, Bible, full of food, but it's not in me. All of this is wonderful. I believe the Bible. I go to church. I do everything. But you don't have any in your stomach until you eat it. It's no good until you eat it. Do you understand? 10,000 pictures are no good. 10,000 verses are no good if you don't let them sit and find their home in your heart. If you don't abide in me and I abide in you, you done got nothing. I got my Bible. I got to read my Bible. The Bible is meant to be consumed. That's what God. That's why you're saved. God in you is trying to tell you, read this so that you can understand this relationship and exercise it. And you enjoy what? You'll never be famished. You'll never hunger. They said, I'm the bread of life. Not only will you never hunger, you'll never die. You have a unique relationship. Nothing, you get rid of the body. You have to get rid of the body somewhere. You understand? Yeah, you do it. Most people never eat. They read, but never eat. And they never grow. They never grow. No. Oh, there's another page. You can't see it. Can't see it. But you'll never grow. You want to grow. You better eat. That's not an encouragement to eat your lunch. But it's just when you eat your lunch, whatever you're going to eat today, somewhere, let that, understand what you're doing. You're going to put it inside your mouth, and you're going to masticate it, or whatever that word is. You're going to go and massacre it, right? You're going to go and take your food and crunch it all up. The beautiful plate is going to become, whoa, a bunch of big stew inside your stomach. Big stew sitting there. Wow. To give your life. You eat the food and put it in. You read God's word and you listen and understand. There's no diploma. They're going to go out the door and they're going to face the basis of how it's all going to work, and God's going to make it all wonderfully happen. And therefore, what a class experience. What a wonderful preparation to roll up your sleeves and go out the door. God, make it happen, see? That's what they're going to have to pray. Make it happen. Wow, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Perhaps our Father help us a little bit as we try to understand and exercise that which you've given and that which you do. And we'll thank you for your grace and kindness. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.